The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 12th of November, 2016. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and check out the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle in my 30-day program. All free. Leave your email address and away you go. Also, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows we got out there. We've got our good friend Martin Janzik's on there. Go out and check out just what Martin and I have done. And I would presume and I would definitely say Martin was going to be with us for a long, long time. As I said, we're in our second year. I said 30 years. We've got 28 more to go, and that's a long time to everybody working together, and we couldn't wish for anything more. Also, too, I've been doing this in all the shows the last week or so, reading an excerpt out of a book I like, and we're going to get into this more and more in 17. We are even going to be looking at books, and we're going to be giving our write-ups on them. Also, too, there's going to be something pretty cool I'm working on with somebody right now. Wait to see what we got coming. There's going to be 10 bullet points of something that's going to be talked about probably in every show with other people involved in the show adding. I'm not going to give it away yet, but you're going to love this. I came up with this yesterday. And I said, why not? So we're going to try this out and see what happens. But more on that to come. All right. This is by John Wooden, the greatest coach, I think, in college history, big time for UCLA. It's called A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections on and Off the Court. Wooden, Coach John Wooden with Steve Jamison. The opinion of others. Do not become too concerned about what others may think of you. Be very concerned about what you think of yourself. Too often we care more about a stranger's opinion of us than our own. Your opinion of yourself begins on the inside with your character. What do you believe in, and are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? I'm going to read this line again. Very, very important. What do you believe in, and are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. And I'll add what my dad says, and I say it on every show. Be a leader, not a follower. Very important. I'm going to give you some information on Martin. I'm going to bring him in very shortly. I want to get his take on it because Martin to me, you know, I haven't known Martin for very long, but I can already tell you he's a stand-up guy. And this is what we need in this world because we do need leaders, like my pop always said. I want to give you a little information on Martin. Number one, stone lifter, strongman, power lifter, Scottish Championships competitor, and he is the muscle behind the Facebook page, Historic Lifting. You got to go out and look at the stuff this guy does. It is better than exceptional. It's extraordinary. And we're going to talk, I want to get into a little bit with the passage I read. And we're going to talk about make some noise. And you're going to understand, because if you've been following our couple shows with Martin, you're going to kind of know where we go, especially the stone lifters that have learned to lift stones off Motivation Muscle, that have never touched anything until they listened to shows way back then that really brought some great influence. And we're creating our own army here. Martin, welcome to the show, brother.
Hi, Eric. It's great to be back on again. Looking forward to the conversation.
Oh, it's great to have you on. Anything I missed, websites, any way to get a hold of you, you know, give it out. And I want to just get your opinion on the passage I just read as far as what people think of you. So anything you got, lay it out, and let's start talking about that little excerpt I read, if you would, please.
One thing I'm working on just now, it'll be up by the end of this year, is a website to go along with the Historic Stone Lifting Facebook page. The website will have the stuff, same stuff that's on the Facebook page with a lot more. There'll be in-depth training techniques, lifting techniques, everything about the stones, directions, people lifting the stones, viewers getting in touch and giving their story about training and lifting. It's more of a way so people can find and direct themselves properly through the information that they would like to find out about each and every one of the historic stones. Plus, I'm currently working on a book to go along with the Facebook page and the upcoming website,
yep.
Which will it's all about the historic stones and how I train for them and how other people train and different techniques and ways to lift the same stone, which I think is a very important thing because there's no one way to lift a stone and everybody has to find what's right for them after they spend a bit of time processing and reading the stone and getting what they can from it before they make an attempt. But apart from that, everything is just as you said.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, like you said, you're writing some stuff up. There's no real manual out there on stone lifting, and I think what you've got to lend is extraordinary. But as you said, you made the point. And I remember the first time I talked to Bill Crawford about that. You know, they had talked like how the stones talk to you. We got into that with Clint Darden, how his Atlas stones, when they know he's going to lift them, he says, I swear I hear him talking to me when I walk by. I pat every one of them and I talk to them. Very interesting stuff. And as I got more and more into this, I started understanding, you know, maybe you need to turn it 45 degrees to lift it because, you know, this is something that's got a lot more science in it than just trying to go up and brute force this off the ground. Maybe some people can, but it will humble you very easy. We've all seen that with some extraordinary weightlifters I'm talking about. But the thing that I really like about all of the stone lifting, probably more so than anything, is this. You know, they love to use the word raw, but, I mean, it is pretty raw. I mean, you can't be using a lot of gear to lift these things. You've got to know some of the things to do to prepare for them, and it's very essential to have all those things. So that you're doing that is fabulous because I'm going to tell you something we're going to be doing video-wise that you might want to even get into, but that's going to be after we get a few things straightened out here. Martin, one thing before we get into, you know, making some noise, I read that excerpt from John Wooden in the beginning, and the idea of worrying about opinions. I'd really like you to comment on that and tell me what when I read that, do you agree with it? Do you think it's something that we need to be cognizant of? What's your take on opinions?
I think it's what you wrote right out was really good and quite meaningful, and a lot of people should read out. Because, like myself, when I'm there's not many people locally around myself that do the stone lifting and other stuff that I do, flip tires and
yep.
So when you people see you do it, your friends and family and other people, and they think you're kind of you're kind of nuts for doing
sure.
The stuff that you do, and then go and say right, maybe say what you're doing this weekend, or say I was away doing the stones again, I flip my tire and. Ask what weight or how many reps or whatever you're doing, and they just think you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because no normal physical person hasn't got that kind of warrior spirit and vibe to do this sort of thing will even attempt this. And because they don't understand it or understand why you do it, they're kind of wary of it. Like, and you can't let that get to you.
Nope.
You've got to be passionate. If you're passionate about what you do, you have to block out everything else that anyone or around you has maybe got to say to you and just kind of be true to yourself and do what you love. If you love lifting these stones or flipping the tires or anything that you do that. You've got to just block everything out and just go on with what you love, what's going to make you happy, what you're passionate about and what's going to get you through the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that totally, and that's really about what this show's about, making some noise, because, you know, you're out doing things that most people won't go near. Now, you know, people argue that two ways till sundown with you, but this stuff is not only fun to do, it's dangerous, obviously. You know, it's claimed some of us here with different body parts. But you know something, I wouldn't change a thing. I'm talking from my perspective because, you know, now that I've talked to you a number of times, and especially with the influence you've had with me with tires and just different things we've talked about with weight training, how to match things up, you know, you can take somebody who thinks that they've done a lot of things and then tell them your experiences. And to me, it is like revolutionary when someone's talking to you about things like that because, well, maybe you never thought of it in that context, or maybe you did it that way, but it just didn't work out with what you were trying to support. And that's when I say you're out making noise. Now, I flipped tires before, and obviously I told you after I tore the bicep, I didn't do it very much because at times it felt very bunchy to me, all right? But that's a very interesting thing because I totally agree with you. And we're going to – and we started talking about yesterday, just so everyone knows, we had some technical end problems. So we're going to go over some of the stuff definitely that we talked about. But one thing that I really admire about it is this. We talked a lot yesterday, and I got into this with you because, you know, I've been doing mostly stone work for the last almost three weeks now, and I'm going to do a few different things. I was only going to do it for a month, but I'm going to go with an idea that we've talked about, and we got into this yesterday because a lot of people are going to start sending me stuff. You might even get stuff too, because Martin and I, I'm going to do it, and he does plenty of it, but I'm going to concentrate mainly on this unless I feel like I need a day from it and I go back into, say, a squat in the rack. I am going to concentrate on tire flipping and stone walking and possibly, obviously, pulling it out of the rack. I'm going to stay with those three movements, obviously. Maybe a little bit of light grip work with a 2 and 3 inch bar, spreading the fingers way out. A little grip work on the stones to work the fingers and neck work. And that's all I'm thinking this might be all I'm going to do to the end of the year now and progress as far as I can on it. Tell everybody out there, I mean, you know, I'm not a rookie lifter and I've done plenty of things, but this, you know, I like the way you talk about this. And I'm one of those guys that wants to go out and see if I can get all the bennies you're talking about with it and move into 17, obviously implementing a little bit of the weights in with it, but still making the focal point of getting up with bigger and bigger tires, flipping them for longer distances, and obviously walking that stone from here to kingdom come. So comment on all that, my friend.
Just about the flipping a tire and lifting the stones, not on their own. I feel that flipping a tire, especially for a number of reps, kind of complements stone lifting, because it incorporates quite a lot of the same movements and you're using your whole body.
Yep.
In the same process. But if you want to get bigger, stronger, even quicker, more athletic, all you really need for a long time is you could just flip tires and lift stones. You could do a number of different exercises with each of them. It's not just flipping a tire. You could pick it up. You could flip it for reps for cardiovascular.
Yep.
You could pick up a stone, a lighter stone than what you would lift up to the shoulder, and you could do pick it up for deadlifts. You could pick it up to work the lats, do bent over rows, which I do quite a lot with the stones before as a warm up before lifting anything.
Yep.
Because working the lats is a very important part of both stone lifting and flipping tires, but especially the stones. You need strong lats because as soon as you pick up the stone, you'll feel your lats stretching and they could tear it if they're not worked out properly. So never neglect your lats, your back, whenever you go to start training for stones or tires. But I mean, you can get a lot out of it. You can get fitter, you can get stronger, you can lose weight, you can get healthier, you can feel better through just stones and tires. I mean, me, I feel like I can conquer a world yeah. after a good training session. Just with flipping a tire and lifting a few stones.
Well, let me, Martin,
to me, it is my life.
Yeah, yeah. And
without it, I would, I don't think I'd be much of who I am without it, really.
I know the feeling. Let's forget about, you know, well, let's not forget about it, but let's talk about, too, say we got somebody that's, let's just say they've been lifting weights for 5 years, okay? So they understand the base, they've built the base, and now they hear this show because I know what's going to happen. They're going to hear it, and they're going to be like, okay, how do I now bring everything over from the weight world, barbell world, and maybe not necessarily drop it all, but how do we implement a tire and a stone program in together and possibly leave some weight training? But let's just talk about bringing in the stone and the tire. Now, let's just say we're going to weight lift one day a week, and we want to work the tires and the stones on two different days. How can we bring that in where we're not, remember, we're not ready to throttle stuff the way you do it. So what would be a really good way to come in and begin this journey with the stones and the tires?
Well, for the tires specifically, best thing to do before even flipping a tire, because if you don't do it right, you can injure yourself. You can pull muscles, you can tear muscles, you can get a hat. It's like everything. You have to do it right. Either get someone to show you the correct method, a good method to flip it, so to minimise injury.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't find someone, just try and go to YouTube, or you can get in touch with me myself.
Yeah.
The historic stone lifting.
Yep.
I can. Instruct you, I can make a video for you to show you my technique and what I feel is best, the best way to do it, which I would pass on to minimise that any sense of injury. But to get into it, I would say you have to do it at least once a week to start with, and then progress to maybe 2 or 3 days a week if you want to get fitter from it. But if you go more than once a week, the kind of fitness aspect that you've got from the tire, you've received from the tire flipping, you can start to windle off. You need to really be progressive with it and flip it at least once a week to start with. Maybe whack up, maybe try 5 to 10 flips of an average size tire, maybe 200 to 500 pounds, maybe start with 200 to 300 pound tire. Used to get used to it, get your body used to it, get the different muscles, because you're going to use all these different muscles that you're not used to using, especially in a combination, because lifting the weights in the gym to lifting a tire or lifting a stone, you're using all different muscles to do these other two aspects, flipping tires and lifting stones, and of course you're using all these muscles together, so it's a combination of everything. You need every single muscle on your body to flip the tire and lift the stone. But I would do the same with the stones as well. I would maybe do it once a week to start with.
Yep.
Or you can maybe, if it was kind of getting too much for you, you could even do it every 8 to 10 days, but no more than that. And then as you progress, start once a week and then maybe twice a week. And you start off with, you don't need to do anything, any big weights to start with. Even with the stones, you could maybe just lift 50 kilos, 60, 70, 80. Just whatever your body at the time is capable of producing, maybe 5 reps at least. Never allow someone to tell you that you should lift a certain weight of a tire or a stone. You just do what your body is capable of at that time, and you'll progress over time. But at least do 5 reps anyway with the stone on a tire to get anything out of it.
Well, I agree with you totally, and I'll tell you something before we get any further. For anybody that's not sure where to get a tire, go to any big industrial place that, you know, has, like, big tires for all the stuff you see in construction. They will normally give you it, but you cannot bring it back. And they have all the charts with the heights, the weights, everything.
Eric.
Yes, sir.
Eric. before we move on, can I just say that...
Go ahead. Say whatever
anyone,
you want, brother.
Anyone off to listen to our conversation, if they have any questions about technique or anything like that, they're more than happy to get them. I'm more happy for them to get in touch with me through the Historic Stone Lifting page, and I can answer any questions. I can make videos for them. I can give them any tuition they would like, anything they want.
No, I agree.
I'm just here to help.
Yeah, that's fine, man. Anything you want to do. But you can get a tire there. You can't return them. And if they're really good people, I've had them bring them up on their big boom trucks because some are a little bit too heavy to try to lift up into a pickup truck. They're just too big. That's number one. Number two, like Martin said, you got to go by feel. That's pretty much how you're going to learn how to do this. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want an injury. You want to learn how to properly flip. You want to learn how to properly lift a stone. Those are the two biggest components right there. Now, I'll just add to some of the things we do here. When we've done a lot of tire flipping, we have different sizes. So let's say we get to the point of 2 days a week of tire flipping. Mm-hmm. We might have a very heavy tire on one day, and at the end of the week when you're a little bit spent, we'll run a very light tire. And you know, anybody out there shaking their head saying, well, why do you want to go light? You heard Martin say in the beginning, all right? You got to go by your feel. So I don't see what, if you haven't done it ever or if you haven't done a lot of it, let me tell you, a heavy and a light during the week, you're going to definitely know it. And if we're doing more than 10 flips for each tire and maybe multiple rounds, or you get up to a 500-pound tire like Martin and flip it for 2.5 hours, then we're talking, all right? But in the meantime, you can do that. It's the same way with the stones. You can run a light stone on the heavy tire day and a heavy stone on the light tire day. What we do a lot is, depending on when we're planning on working tires and stones together, I've said this before and it's a great way to train, but you got to have the stuff to do it. We'll run two tires and two different size stones, and we'll run them where we'll go down with a heavy one, come back with a light one, grab a light stone, go down, grab a heavy one, come home. It's a hell of a way to build some serious endurance and a way where you will not mentally break. But these are things that they're a little bit more advanced and I wouldn't be getting into, but the possibilities and the realm of strength is absolutely incredible. And I'll just reinforce what Martin said too. The bent row is your bread and butter lift with that. Now, that's a row that's a movement that's been highly, I think, not only misplaced, but you don't see it even done much anymore. And if you've
it's
heard
very
our... Yeah.
Very
go ahead. Go ahead.
It's a very important exercise that you have to implement in your training for both stones and tires, because you will feel your lats when you're trying to do anything. And if they're strong, then you will be strong to do what you want to do.
Besides that, Martin, what looks better than having bat wings on your back? You're so big. I mean, that's what I call that's what I call them, bat wings, man. You know something, though?
Ability to take off and fly.
Well, absolutely. I'll tell you another thing I do, which is very good, I think, for stone lifting. And I do it mainly as a mental thing. I've got outside dip bars and I've got inside, and they're all 4x4, so they're super thick and heavy. I keep them very low because I don't think it's a good idea to be trying to jump up high, especially if you have weight around your waist. One slip, you lose your shoulder. That's a good way to get hurt. All right, but I'll tell you something I do, which has really helped me, is I'll get up on those dip bars and I'll hold it for as long as I can. No weight around my waist. Strictly a movement where I'm taking and concentrating on not breaking and letting go. Remember, that's working all those ligaments and tendons, that support. So, you know, when you're trying to lift something and walk with it, it's all support. Another thing that I think is very beneficial is if you have a glued ham machine, spinal erectors, you just heard Martin say, lats. Well, we want to hook the whole back together here now. I think two movements, well, I'll say three movements that I think are really integral to become a good stone lifter. And I'm not anywhere near what Martin is. right? That's his forte. I'm kind of like a ham and egger with Stones. Like, I try to do everything, but now I'm going to become more of a Stone guy where I'm going to take all the stuff and integrate it. But I think whether you're doing dips or holding for time, number one, bent rows, whether it's a barbell, dumbbell, and also digging your fingers into natural stones, absolutely has to be done. And what was I say going to throw? I said dips, rows, and there was one more that I can't think of now what it was. There was one more. It'll come to me. But there's
squats are really good.
Squats are great front, but I, you know what I was going to say, Martin, glute ham. Glute ham.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
You will look at the best spinal erectors to this day besides the Olympic lifters like Rigert. Think about that picture of Ahola on Iron Mind magazine, Milo. I don't know, it had to be 10, 15 years ago. You want to talk about a back? No wonder why that guy could lift anything at 275 pounds. I mean, absolutely brutal. Yeah, I agree, front squats too. Let's talk about this. I mean, we're talking about stones, being religious with them, carrying them, and we also talked about our lifter that wants to go one day a week. All right, so we got to kind of get everything working where we're not killing everything we're doing in a session and going back. If you were going to stick, we already said one of the weightlifting movements for, well, two of them. We talked about the bent row. Now, you believe, go with, out of all the squatting, you would stick with front squats for the stones?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell everybody why, because maybe not everybody knows why you would pick the front squat, Martin.
Well, a front squat is like it simulates lifting the stone from a squatting position. When you first pick up the stone, once you've read the stone and you know how you've got to pick it up and how you can make it being part of you and you can get the best way to lift it, you lift it up, you put it on your thighs, you squat down, and from that squatting position with the stone and on your thighs, which is the front of your body, you're going to stand up with it to your chest. Now, the front squat simulates that exact same movement, going from a squat position with the weight in front of you to a standing position to the weight at the chest. It's going from you're squatting down, so you're down deep, and you're picking the weight back up. Both exercises, the weight isn't at the front of your body, not behind you, it's at the front. So you've got to do exercises that's going to simulate the same movement that you want to perceive with the stones.
Go ahead.
But there's a good thing that people don't actually realise, I think, how the stone lifting and flipping tires can actually help in other lifts, maybe in the gym.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're a power lifter, maybe you might want to go and get a big tire and start flipping a big tire. I remember when I was flipping the 350-kilogram tire, which is over 700 pounds, I was doing that for a charity event, and of course I trained with it for a matter of months. After the charity event, when I flipped the tire, 2 weeks after that, I had a strongman competition, which was my very first competition. It was a novice competition, so the deadlift itself was 200 kilos for reps.
Yep.
And I hadn't deadlifted for maybe 2 years. I think I came second in that event.
Wow.
All from, I would say, flipping that tire for reps. I think that helped my deadlift tremendously.
Yeah.
And as well, when I was pressing the stone overhead, the overhead press in a barbell, I was sitting at 110 kilos. And then I trained with a 100 kilogram stone for reps. And then went back to the gym and I got 120 kilograms in the bar and pushed it easy.
Yep.
So it's people don't realise how these two exercises, flipping tires and lifting stones, can actually help other exercises that you might want to get better at.
Without a doubt. Now, if we are going to do our exercises during the week, what will we mostly just stay with the bent row and the front squat while we're doing the other 2 days of tires and stones? Would that be enough, you feel?
I think you should always do biceps as well.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I agree.
I hear a lot of people getting like tears in the biceps as well.
I'm one of them.
A lot of times when I've done a lot of tours this year with people coming from all over the world to go around these stones. So I've showed them around the stones and I've been lifting them as well, staying for maybe a weekend or 3 days. And at the end of it, you do feel your biceps start to hurt.
Yeah.
Because when you're lifting a stone, without knowing it, you're actually you're doing some curls as well. So what I do a lot of, I don't do big weights for my biceps. I do a medium sort of weight and do more repetition work. So the biceps are used to going through a lot of motion in one workout in one day. So that kind of will minimise the likelihood of getting sore biceps and maybe a tear throughout the day when you're maybe traveling around lifting stones. So do some bicep work as well for reps. That's what I do.
Let me ask you. I'm sorry, Martin. I didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead, finish.
No, that's it. But you just kind of do, like I say, just do the more elongate the muscle and get it used to taking in the oxygen and be able to process all that work throughout one day. These exercises are going to help 100%. I can guarantee it.
Well, let me ask you this. There's so many variations of bars, all right? Do we want to curl with a curling bar, an Olympic bar, a fat bar? Do we want to take them and hold? You know, you'll see a lot of people do from the bottom and then go to the midpoint, have the rods there, do isometrics. What do you feel, you know, if we're going to do a higher rep too, because we really want to pump a lot of blood through because we're using that bicep for so many heavy things during the week, What is your bar of choice? Is there one you'd recommend over another, et cetera, et cetera? Because I think that's very important, and being you've had so much experience with this, what would you tell the guy or gal out there that wants to do, you know, that's going to need to do some curling and really do it, not just go through the motions? Because as a guy that's torn a bicep, I can tell everybody out there, take it real serious. I wish I took it more serious. Maybe this mishap wouldn't have happened. It happened, whatever. All right, but it's done with. But what I'm saying is, do you have a preference? I guess I'll say that to you, Martin.
Yeah, so my preference is I don't actually use a barbell for curl. I just use dumbbells.
Okay.
Because, the dumbbells for me, I feel more natural with the dumbbells. And at the same time, with a barbell, I feel your hand position is different from what it's going to be when I'm lifting a stone. So I try and make like my hand position, but I'm going to lift the dumbbells the same roughly as what it's going to be in lifting a stone. So it's more like in between a hammer curl and a natural curl. Or you could start off with a hammer curl halfway up the bicep, change your hand round so your palm is facing you.
Yep.
But I prefer to use the dumbbells because it gives me a more natural kind of feel for when I go to lift the stone. My hand position automatically goes into the right place, and I feel that when I lift the barbell as well, my hands, they don't feel very natural in that position because my chosen sport of just like flipping tires and lifting the stones. For me, it's dumbbells all the way, but
okay.
Everyone has to get which they feel more comfortable with. If they're not comfortable doing like the exercises I do or using the dumbbells, if they want to use the barbell, then that's what they should do. But at the same time, maybe the kind of the W-shaped barbell.
Yep.
I'm not sure what it's called, but you know, your hands are more in a hammer kind of a grip, like a half hammer grip. That would be a good one to use.
Well, I think you know, supination is good because that really the chances of a tear are a lot less likely. Now, let me ask you: when you're doing the dumbbell curls, we're in a standing position. Your hands are at your side, so your hands basically are facing into your outer thighs. We're coming up with more of a hammer curl, and then we're going to turn the wrist in. And now we're going to curl it right up and lock it in that position, right?
Yes, that's
okay.
It, yes.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
It, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody, you're getting the forearm work, too, when you're coming up like a hammer.
You're putting the whole arm through its a range of motion.
Yep.
And as you know, when you're lifting stones, especially natural stones, you might have to change your hand position as you're lifting it.
Oh, yeah.
And, or when you've got to pick up in the first place, your hand position could be far different from lifting a barbell. That's why I prefer the dumbbells, because your hand will be in a more natural position for going to do what I want to do and lift the stones.
Yeah, oh, I agree. The only other thing I'd use besides that is I would probably stay with a curling bar, and I don't use things like that. But once again, that may take any chance of bicep injury or tear out of it, because as much as I love 2 and 3 inch handles, that does not revolve, and you're taking a big chance if you're going to load weight up on that small muscle, especially if you're not used to doing it. And I don't think that's something you really need to do with a thick bar. All right, so we've got our three movements, basically, our weightlifting movements, and obviously we can throw in the glute ham with that if we'd like to, because that's not going to take away from our recovery. Obviously, it's going to add to our recovery because of the volume of blood we can pump through. So let's just say we go with a Monday tire, Wednesday weight training, Friday tire, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, that right there is going to give you more than ample enough feedback to find out if there's anything you got to tweak or change. See, the thing with this, Martin, is this is with a lot of people. They stick to the same thing, and you hit it right in the beginning. You know, you might hit that next tire day where you're a little bit tired out, all right? And rather than not do the workout, you make sure you have things around that are lighter. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to go easier. But what that does is this. The body's not going to know any better. I mean, if you go out and you try to hammer it extra hard, you're going to definitely take your body and your central nervous system and go somewhere you don't want to go. And that's going to limit the possibilities, or it could lay you up for a little while too. And I don't mean so much injury, but once you cook your system, you know, you're going to be forced to take time off. I know nobody wants to hear overtraining or anything like that. I've gone back and forth with people. I say there's no such thing. Then there's others that say you should take, you know, after every 15 days, you should take like 3 to 5 days. This is how I do it now. And now I'll let you explain what you do, too, in one moment. I try to stay with my set days. But if I come to that day and I just don't feel like I have it, and I'm not saying if you just feel a little tired out, you don't go out there. That's not my point. But when you're feeling a little extra tired, when you're just not moving quickly, and you just kind of feel down, I guess, so to speak, or just not real energized, there's nothing wrong with taking another day off, because that can preserve you for a long time to keep going. And that's one thing I think people still to this day don't understand. Just because it says Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it can be Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. It could be Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, off for 4 days. What you have to do is use this type of training to condition yourself to the point, like Bill told me. Bill was training stones for a while, for months, every day. Think about that. Every day. Every day. How did he do that? Well, he did it because not only did he will to do it, but he built up slow. You know, Bill, like Martin, myself, we've all done a lot of different things. You know, you know anything about Bill? He's been on here. I mean, Highland Games, Olympic lifting. He's done an array of things, but he didn't get to those things just by accident. It was something that took years, decades, and a lifetime to complete. It's going to be the same way with what Martin and I are talking about with this stone training and weight training. Martin will tell you, and I'll go right to him, I guarantee he's going to tell you he wasn't flipping a 500-pound tire the first week, but he is now. And that's all due to the conditioning, to the mental conditioning, and the wherewithal to stay with it. That is probably going to be the most important thing. We just gave you a phenomenal routine to train with. But that isn't any good unless you believe in it wholeheartedly. you commit to it wholeheartedly, and you carry it out. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. This stuff is not easy. And when you go and embark on something like this, you're going to have to totally have your mental ground laid right out. And you're going to get tested, and you're going to fail, and you're going to fall, and you're going to come back, and you're going to succeed, and you're going to win. And eventually, you know, maybe you go to Iceland, you go to Scotland and lift the famous stones. That's what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Martin. Take it, brother.
Well, Eric, my friend, I agree with everything you just said.
Thank you.
I think everything you said was just spot on the money. This training, stones and tires, is not easy. You have got to make this a major part of your life. It's got to become who you are.
Yeah.
And like you said, if you've got a 3-day program, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, say, there's nothing wrong with taking Friday off and training Saturday or Sunday, and then maybe training on the following Tuesday instead of the Monday. If that's how you feel that week, because maybe you've had some day, you've had a really bad day, or you've had a really tiring day, or something's happened, there's nothing wrong with taking that extra day off and getting your training routine in the next day. It's a good way to think. At the same time, myself, I don't actually have a specific training routine every week. I just make sure I train, like say 4 times a week.
Yep.
I do it when I feel like I want to do it. I mean, I can maybe do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, take the rest of the week off, then do the same again next week or the week after. I'll maybe do Monday, Tuesday, Friday and Saturday. As long as I get my 4 workouts in that week, in which there's nothing set either. Maybe 1 week I'll go down and flip the tyre maybe 4 times, or I'll flip it once that week and do stones, or I'll go out to my back garden and lift the stones I've got in chains, and hooks. Or I'll maybe just go and press the stone for 2 or 3 days and flip tyres, or just lift the weights for maybe 3 days and do the stones and the tyre. For me, I've got nothing set. As long as I do my 4 workouts and can lift the sandbag and lift a few stones and flip the tyre, then I'm happy. My week is coming to an end and I'm happy with it. And I feel like I'm strong and ready to progress on the next week and do even better.
No, I agree with you totally. And see, this is why you have success the way you do. It's because eventually, when you get very good with whatever you do, you learn that feedback, as they say, mentally and physically, and it's no bull. I mean, I think some people take it a bit too far, but most of the time, these are people that are peddling products to go with it. Now, that being said, the best way to get to an Iceland or a Scotland or a Wales or wherever we want to go is to listen to that feedback from your body and not be afraid that, oh my God, I didn't go out on Wednesday night, I'm going to lose it. No, you're not going to lose it. Let me reassure you this. If anything, you're going to gain, because if you use your head correctly and you're feeling good, that's when you want a calorie up. That's when you want a fat up, okay? Eat your fats. Eat minimal greens, whatever you want to do. But feed and fuel your body with that extra day off, because you know what's going to happen when you go out that next day or night. You're going to be like, holy cow, man, you know, like you can move the world. That's the whole point of this, because what you're doing here in your yard or in your gym or whatever is going to reflect totally when you go to an Iceland or a Scotland to lift famous stones, because you've got to build it all where you're training. That doesn't mean you're not going to go to Iceland or Scotland and not learn a hell of a lot of stuff, not only from the stones themselves, but from the people that you're with. That's a given. But when you walk on that turf, that surface, that uneven ground, you know, you have already built the power, the stamina, the endurance, and the mental tenacity to go over there and complete this. Because I'll tell you one thing. I'm never embarrassed about what happened over in Iceland with me. A lot of people, you know, some were very good about it. Some gave me some grief about it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I've said this. Every day I'm reminded of that voyage times two and didn't get the stone around. The first time, the bicep, the second time, bad time to go. We got killed in that storm almost, but it didn't really matter. I wish we waited another 10 minutes because it was sunny and blue sky. That's how Iceland is. The weather can change from 1 minute to the other where it's beautiful and then it looks like it's the end of the world. Those are the chances you take as somebody that wants to do great things. But I'll sit here and tell you right now, every day, I haven't been able to go since 11 because we started the business, and the money's got to go into the business, okay? And believe me, I don't like sitting here waiting for anyone or anything. I'm just not made like that. And the injury and to get over there and get this thing complete and then go over in Martin's homeland with him and whomever else we're, if we plan on a trip, to go and do this, because this is what it's all about. This is what it is when you learn to branch out to become a better man or woman. But most of all, you get to go and meet stuff that's been there since who knows when. I'll say the beginning of time. To go and shake hands with the Husafell stone again. To go and shake hands with the Inver and the Dinis, which all I've ever seen is video, pictures, or read about. You know, and I'd really, to be honest with you, and I've thought about it a million times, I would really like to go to the part of Iceland which really claimed me anyways and go down there and lift the Judas stone, the column stones, et cetera, et cetera. Who knows when I get over there? I don't know. It all depends what's going on with the business, and we can do all our business from wherever we go as long as we got Wi-Fi. But the point I want to make is this stuff is the most worthy thing you could ever do in your life. I understand family, wives, children. I got it all. But I'm sure Martin can attest that, you know, he and his wife just had a beautiful daughter. And I'm sure there's nothing more he's proud of. But there's some things that call men that go deep into their heart and soul. And that's what that stuff did to me and still does to me. I got to tell you, every day I wait to get on Icelandic air. And if you think I'm kidding you, you don't know me very well. It's very hard for me every day to think about that. That stone, I swear to God, is calling me. I go out and look at Steve Jack's video every morning. I watch it. Every morning I watch him lift the Husafell stone. I look at the video we've got when we went over there with Bill Crawford in 08. I won't let it go and it won't let me go. And I'm going to go over there, I'm going to bash its head in this time. Because either that or it's going to take my life. That's what I've made the deal with. That's what I've shook hands with. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you need an extra day off, if you need to talk to, you know, a guy like Martin, you want to yell something at me, I will be more than happier like Martin to help you out. I'm not an authority on it. He has more time and more in the stones than I probably ever will have. But I have the desire, just like him, I'm sure, as much. I am burning inside to do this. Because to me, if this is the last thing I ever do with a stone, Iceland, Scotland, will I ever be satisfied? No, I'm not that type of guy, but I can live with it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to want to go do it a year from now, but I can live with it, with the success of it, and I think that's what we all need to do. We need to all understand how important it is to us and what we need to create that success. And then after that, then you decide what you want to do. Maybe you want to learn how to bend things, break things. I don't know. That's irrelevant for right now. What we got to live in is the present day and the future we're building to get over to wherever we want to go and be a success. Martin, it's all yours, brother.
You know, Eric, I've got to say that I really enjoy this sort of conversations because I think everything you say is just spot on, and I just like the kind of wisdom and the kind of spirit you can put out to kind of encourage people as well as myself.
Thank you, sir.
You know, son, have you seen the movie, Kickboxer with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Oh, yeah.
And you see the bit where he's almost at the end of his training, and he's training, I put him off the training on his own, and he's in the temple, and you can hear the kind of past warriors do what they used to do in that same temple.
Yep.
And you just kind of, you can hear like the spirits of them hear warriors from years past and hundreds of years past speaking, to hear them as he trains and as he does what he does. It's like that when you go and visit these historic stones.
Yeah.
It's seeing what you see. It's the scenery. It's knowing that. It's like you're saying with the Hoosefell Stone. It's knowing who's done it in the past and what it means and what it represents to them, to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's what actually lies behind the stone, if you get what I mean. And it's the history of the stone and it's what it actually represents and who's actually lifted it before you. And if you get your lift and if you can do what you want to do, then you're joining the history of these other people before you from hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years before you.
Yeah.
It's just it's an unbelievable feeling to lift these stones and actually get that feeling. You can't even describe it. You've just got to go and do it for yourself and get there and get your mind set. And you're going to come away heart rate. You got, I mean, I believe it. If it's not wasn't for the stones that I started lifting, these historic stones back in 2011, I wouldn't be who I am today. I think it's made me grow better as a person. It's made me deal with life better.
Yeah.
It's made me a happier person all around. Having this is part of my life.
Yeah.
And you can always make time for it. I mean, I've got the stones out in the back garden. You can go out, I can come home from my work, I can go outside even for half an hour, lift the stone, I can have my tea, I can go back out again after that. I've got the sandbag and it sits in the house. I lift up most days of the week.
Yep.
There's nothing stopping you from doing what you want to do. You just have to have the willpower, you have to believe that you can do it, you just have to want to try it. And it's like yourself. Like I was saying, I'm willing to help anyone that wants to get involved in this. And that's why I created the Facebook page in the first place, just to kind of make people more aware of what's out there. And
yep.
Anyone has an interest in this, I want to kind of help them get there and get a bigger interest in it. And if anyone out there wants to ask me anything relating to the tires or the stones or anything to do with training to help them get there, then I'm more than happy to for them to get in touch with me and I correspond with them as much as they want, just to kind of get them to their goals.
Why don't you give them all that material and I'll give mine, because we're pretty much near the end. I mean, I could talk to you the rest of the day, but I got a 3 o'clock podcast, so... Anything you want to give out, anything you want to summarize, brother, I'll give my stuff out. Hang on, and we'll get ready, because there's so much more we can add on. I can't wait. So anything you want to put out, it's all yours, sir.
Well, let's see. With the upcoming website, I'll be putting on a lot of that. Will be based on instructional videos, how to lift the stones and how, especially the book I'm writing, that'll be... a lot of that will be more instruction, and the same stones that I've shown people around, there could be five of us there, and maybe we'll all try and lift a stone a little bit different, or maybe two guys will lift the stone one way, and another three of us will lift it our own way. It's going to be all about reading the stone, first walking up to the stone, seeing how it looks, getting a feel for it, moving it about, just... reading how the best way for you to pick that stone up to your lap and up to your chest or whatever you want to do with it. And of course, I do have instructional videos that I've made over the last few months. You can find them on the Historic Stone Lifting Facebook page, as well as a lot of people have wrote in and put in their own videos and pictures of them lifting. And there'll be a lot of tire and stuff up there. There'll be a lot of directions on how to get these stones. And like I keep saying, I'm more than happy for people to get in touch with me and just put out what I can, the information I can give to them. This is just a big part of my life, and I love every minute of it. And anyone that wants to make a part of their life, I look forward to them being a part of what we do.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
And of course, you've got to have some goals as well.
Yeah.
The best thing to do when starting something, you're better to have a. I find it better to have a goal, because I've been lifting the stones for a number of years now. Like we said last time, my big goal is the overhead press to Emberstone. So I'm working up to doing that within the next, so it'll be maybe a year and maybe 9 months or something. Within the next 2 years from our last podcast, that was, that'll be like my my big ultimate goal to press that Emberstone.
I'm gonna be, I'll tell you what, man. I'm gonna do everything I can. If you'll let me come over, I want to come see you. I want to see you do that. That would be insane.
Yeah, well, I'll do it when you can come over, and then
I'd love it.
Everything I'm gonna do is gonna lead up to that big lift. Everything.
Yeah, I that would be insane. What else you got, brother?
Well, just like I said, the upcoming fate, the website will be out this year. And when you're the biggest thing I've always said is everybody has to do the exercises that we've mentioned. But like you were saying, using either a barbell or I prefer the dumbbells.
Yep.
You've got to do what feels right for you. If you don't like what someone else is the way they are doing it, but you know you should. One of them, that exercise is like a fundamental exercise. Is going to help you conquer the stones. Then do the exercises, but do them with another bit of apparatus. Use what you feel. You can even pick up a stone, a lighter stone, and start curling with the stone. Or even just stand up with a stone to your lap and get you and do that for reps, and that'll prepare you for bigger stones to come.
Yep.
With me, like I said before, I trained with my sandbag, a 130-kilogram sandbag. I lifted up. I wrote down I wanted to lift that as a goal for 100 times up to my chest. I did that over a few months. I went back to the gym and I lifted previously the most I lifted was 140 kilogram up the stone. I went back and I lifted 160 kilogram up the stone up to the platform, and it felt like I couldn't believe how much I struggled with it before. So you can progress to heavier weights with a lighter load, like 130 kilogram stone up to the 130 kilogram sandbag helped me move that 160-kilogram stone to the platform. So it's just all day we training. I believe in training for reps is what helps me. I train for high reps with a big weight, like the 500-pound tire. I'll maybe do 100 reps just for a warm-up, and I'll do stones and go back to the tire again.
Yep.
I flipped the 350-kilogram tire for hundreds of times.
That's unreal. Unreal.
And, I mean, I believe that helped me with everything.
Without a doubt. I mean, if people really heed what we're saying today, I mean, I could see an awful lot of new faces going over to Scotland and Iceland next year. This is stuff, Martin, no one's giving stuff like this away, man. They're not telling you what they're doing. Because most guys are just too afraid to tell people. They think it's like a big secret. I mean, my whole thing on everything is let's get everybody doing great. I mean, I don't care about two or three people. Let's get 2,000 or 3,000 people doing this. That's what it's all about.
That's why it's on the internet.
Yeah.
That's why we've got it on the internet, because we want to help as many people as we can.
Absolutely.
And we're not charging for this. We just want to.
Absolutely.
We just believe we can. We want to pass on our knowledge.
Yep.
If that helps someone else get to any sort of level, any goal they want to achieve, then that is a really big thing, and I'm want to be a part of that.
Well, not only that, man, that's why you're such a success, because you're not a guy that's trying to just cover his tracks. You're a guy that's giving you out miles and miles of knowledge, and that's all we want here. We don't want people that are just into themselves and that's all they care about. That's no way to live, and you're never going to be a success. You might be a flash in a pan for a while, and then 2 years down the road, they'll all be saying, hey, where did so-and-so go? I don't know. They're gone. Where, we can do a lifetime of this, and so can everybody else. So it's awesome stuff. What else you got?
It's like one thing I could just mention was, it's like, see, when I was saying about how the stones and the tires can help.
Yep.
With the other exercises, like I used an example. If you are a powerlifter, for example, or even a strongman, because if you go and train with a big stone, for example, that will help your deadlift.
Yep.
You could train with maybe if you can lift maybe 150 kilogram stone for a few reps, a few times a week. You go back to the gym, and I guarantee you that's going to help your deadlift.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, what it is the closer, the smaller the object is, and the, as heavy as it is, because the stone is so small compared to like a barbell, which is maybe 6 feet in length, the closer the weight is to your center of gravity, the harder and more compact the weight is, the harder it is going to be to lift. So if you can lift a really good weight, then when you go back to the gym and the weight is spread out in that 6 foot barbell, which is still, it's going to be hard to lift, but you will notice that you can lift more. It will help you progress. I think that's the one thing that people don't realise, that flipping tires and lifting stones, especially the stones, they will help you progress in other exercises within the gym. If you are a powerlifter or a strong man, or even if you want to, maybe boxing.
Yep.
If you're lifting a stone, pressing it up over your head, or just lifting it up to your chest, move with speed, kind of light stone, it might help with an uppercut.
Yep.
If you get a stone, you maybe get an oversized stone and like throw it with two hands as far as you can. That can maybe help the job. If you're lifting this big stone up to your thighs and up your chest, that can maybe help a football player can tackle somebody. The stone training can help in a matter of ways in different sports. I would believe that any physical or any high intensity sport, should I say, can be improved with stone lifting.
I agree.
In your training.
Yep.
And I think it could really be a big thing to maybe coaches. They can maybe put in tires and stones to a weekly regime for physical athletes. It will help them.
I agree. We got everything?
Yes. I think that's us for now, I think.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle and our power strength 30-day program. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at our vault of material. There's nothing anywhere like us. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Martin and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at nicap.r.com, and I'll leave you with these great, great things. Number one, go out to iTunes or Stitcher. Leave us a 5-star review. We thank everybody for that. You know we're out streaming and we're all over the place on, Shoutcast and Google Play Music. We're all over the place. And I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of inspiration. That's more important than anything. 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it, lift stones, turn them into dust. Also, as the Hoosa Steel Crusher says in Blood Red, dominate. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And Frank Klein, my great teacher, repetition, 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 my pop, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, keep smiling. Also, too, as Russell Furr says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls, okay? And I will tell you this, you all have greatness in you, and you got to go out and exhibit it, but... And here's the big thing. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 of your friends we're coming, because we're going to kick the door right through. Join our revolution. Be part of our family. Martin, super show. Thanks for being on, sir.
Thank you very much. And I hope people can get something from what I said. And like I say, if they want to get in touch with me, anybody out there, I'm happy to speak to them and give them any information that I can help them.
You got it. You got it, man. So for Martin Janzik, this is Eric Fiorello. As I say, be a steward of strength. You all have greatness, and we will talk to you soon, everyone. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.